Well, our scripture this morning, we turn to the book of Acts, 13th chapter. When do you find it?
Amen.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Acts. Okay.
What number? What chapter?
What chapter? It doesn't make any difference.
Oh.
13. So chapter 13. It's all good. Yes. Chapter 13. I'll read to you a lot of scripture here. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John, their minister. And when they had gone through the isles unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, "O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And immediately there fell on him amidst and a darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Again, Lord, we just ask, Father, that you would open the scriptures to us. Lord, that your message would come straight. Use me, O Lord, as your vessel, Lord, that we might just absorb that which you have for us. We ask you to open our hearts, Lord, and to hear with a spiritual ear. We ask you, Father, to take us and use us in the name of Jesus. These scriptures, early in Paul's ministry, he says there in the first verse that there were in the church that was at Antioch. That was the place that I think, if I'm not wrong, that Antioch was a church where they were first called Christians. That's when the church was changing from the old to the new. They were And there was gathered together there 5 men. Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, and Manaen, and Paul. These men were righteous men. They were probably the leaders at the time. But then they said that the Holy Ghost came and said to separate them. Separate them, Barnabas and Paul. God was choosing out Barnabas and Paul for a mission that he had plans for them, Paul, even clear back to the time that he was persecuting the church. You see, talk about being predestined, talking about this, but God knew his heart. He knew where he stood, and he knew he would be changed. He knew exactly what was going to become of Mr. Paul. Yeah. He chose Paul. It says Barnabas and Paul. Barnabas was the leader over Paul at that particular time. As they were gathered there in the church, Barnabas, well, we might say he was senior or he was elder or whatever. But anyhow, he listed as Barnabas and Saul. So he sent them out, and they gathered together, and they laid hands upon these two. The rest of the group, the three, I guess it was left. There may have been more, but didn't mention those. But anyhow, they brought these two, and they laid their hands upon them. This is like we do today when somebody is ordained to a job, that we usually call them forth, and the elders of the church would lay hands upon them and pray for them. Not as, I was kind of tickled when I read one of the commentaries of it, I think it was McGee. He said that the only thing you're going to get from the laying on of the hands is the germs that's on your hand. And he was saying this, that we do not have anything powerful to give. We don't. But what it amounted to was that you have my sanction. You are going out in my name. We're going to be behind you all the way. We're going to do everything we can to uphold you in your missionary journeys, whatever you go to do. We're going to be behind you. And that's exactly what the church does today. When they call a pastor, when we ordain somebody to be a deacon or whatever, the church is behind them. We, as we lay our hands upon them, we give ourselves to them. We say, well, I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to be following you. I'm going to be holding you up in everything that you do. I'm behind you. Go for it. And that is so important. You know, when I was ordained, they'd done that very thing to me down at Wallace, and some of the elders and the pastors from different places, they come around, and it makes you feel so good. It makes you feel good, so good to know that wherever you go, that they're going to still be behind you. They're not with you, no, but they're going to be behind you, holding you up in everything that you do. And you know, even to this day, yet, I know that all of those that were there at my ordination, when they laid their hands upon me, they're still with me today. And that's good. That's what they do. So they sent him up, and the power of the Holy Ghost came upon them. And they, when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands upon them and sent them away. So important it is to have God's blessing when we're sent out to do anything. So they went, and they sailed to this little islands. When they got to this island, they started through it, started preaching. But the thing that I really liked there was in that fifth verse, when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God. Where? Look at that. in the synagogues of the Jews. In the synagogues of the Jews. Now, can you imagine them two going into the big synagogues where they still live under the law? And the Jews are still back there in the Old Testament. Christ had come, but they didn't accept it. Can you imagine going in there and preaching against grain? You're going in there, and you're going to be opposing everything that they believed in. You know, you're going to be telling them that this is something new. Jesus Christ is here. He's the Messiah. They didn't believe. So as they go into this place and preach, they go right into the synagogue. Wow. You and I today, we'd be scared to death to meet somebody on the street and mention Jesus Christ in their name, let alone go into a false or a cult or something like that and tell them that Jesus Christ is the answer. You know, that would be the same thing today as we're going out here and going into a place that, Tom, you said, honky-tonk or what have you, and bringing in Jesus Christ. Which is exactly what these boys are doing. Yes, anyway. Exactly. And you know, I praise God for it. Yes, we can be quick to condemn, we can be quick to knock, but if one soul is saved under these conditions, it is well worth it. Yes. As they went into these synagogues, they were preaching and they were teaching Jesus Christ. They went clear through that aisle. But they didn't get too far in until they met a man that was, he wasn't the governor of the island. His name was Sergius Paulus. Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Now here's a guy that was in charge. He wasn't the governor, he wasn't set up that way, but he was the chief of the island. He was the top dog. And as he was there, he sent for Barnabas and Paul because he wanted to hear the word of God. He'd heard about it. Yeah, he'd heard of the teaching, the preaching of Jesus Christ, but he had not witnessed it for himself. He had just heard of what's happening down the road. And a lot of times we're that way. The people that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they'll hear of a great revival that's taking place down the road, here and there, or how many souls that were saved down there. They hear about it, but they don't witness it. They're not there in person. That's exactly where he was. He wanted to hear it for himself, so he sent for Barnabas. What happened? Here they come. They came right to him. They were going to deliver the word of God. Whoa, wow. It's fragging the wheel. Yep, there's a rock in the road. There was somebody there. He had two names. He had a first name was Bar-Jesus. Am I saying that right, Sandy? Mm-hmm. All right. I didn't know where that was. Yes. His name was Bar-Jesus. And in the whatever tongue he was in, whatever it was, that meant a man of authority. That meant a man that was blessed. That meant a man that was a part of God. That name meant that. And that was what he was using as his authority and his power. He was a magician. He was a sorcerer. And his second name was what?
Jesus.
No.
Oh, Elymas.
Elymas? Yeah. Okay. That was his second name. That was his sorcerer's name. That was his magician's name. Because he done things that were miracles. He actually did things that were miraculous, but they were not from God. They were on his own. They were tricks of the magician. Sleight of hand. Do you see these guys, these magicians out here, and you see them all the time, and they can make things appear or disappear, do magic tricks right in front of your eyes, and how do they do that? But there's always a trick behind it. There's always a falseness. There's always something that you don't see. There's always something that appears to be there that isn't. That's what he was doing. He was bringing forth with things that wasn't really real, but he was sure getting the praise for it. All the people, oh yes sir, this man is something else. He's good. He's something like it. Paul and Barnabas, Saul and Barnabas came on the scene. And when he opposed them, he did not want these two men to talk to this leader. He didn't want that. No way. He tried to stop him. He tried to get everything he could. Paul cast his eyes on him. Read it. It's right there. He cast his eyes on him. He looked right through all that falseness, all that fake stuff. He looked right on through it, and he seen what was behind it all was Satan. He called it for what it was. Wow. If we had the courage to stand up and call sin what it is, if those people that would oppose the church, if we were to confront them and look right through them and say, you are a son of the devil, whew, we'd be scared to death. Yes, we would. We would. Saul, ninth verse, who also is called Paul. This is the time that Saul's name was changed to Paul. This was the time when he was changed. Saul was Paul's old name under the Jewish. He was Saul. Saul was a name that was originated. You go back in the old scriptures, go way back to the Kings, and way back into Saul was a name that was associated with the Almighty in the Jewish faith. Now, Paul's name was changed. He was changed from Saul to Paul. And he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Then he set his eyes on him. Now see this? This was all God's doing. And he said, O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? He called him just what he was. A child of the devil. Won't you quit? Ever quit opposing God? He called it for what he was. Paul knew because Paul had been there. He had been there. He had done that. He opposed the church. He done everything he could. He persecuted the Christians. And he even had them tortured, executed, or what have you. He knew exactly what that guy was doing because he'd done it himself. And I find it kind of odd, or maybe, I don't know what. But as he cast his eyes on him, he was able to see clear through him. Paul and I weren't good. They were not good. His eyes were problems. In one place in the scripture, he said that if it were possible, they would have plucked out their own eyes and given to him. Because he could not see well. What caused Paul's eye problems? Well, you remember back there on the road to Damascus? When that bright light came upon him, it blinded him. Paul turned to this fella and he said, thou child of the devil, he said, how far will you drink? 11th verse. And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him the mist of darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. The exact same thing that happened to Paul. He put it on him. God turned around and he touched that man and he caused blindness to come upon him that he could not see, to the point that he had to have somebody to lead him for a season. For a season. Why for a season? Why just for a little while? Of course, he's struck blind. The guy done the thing that he done. He should have been struck blind and forever. For a season. The Bible doesn't tell us what happened to that man. But it's a lot of theories good behind it, that down the road a piece, he was converted, just like Paul, and went to do the works of God. Well, when this happened, he saw that this man had been struck blind. The deputy that was the ruler, he looked on the situation and he had no doubt. To do this sort of thing, he had to be of God. He was converted. He was there, we call it saved. He was a child of Jesus Christ. He had accepted Paul's preaching. And he became a Christian. Wow. Can you imagine the change on that island after this happened? You see, before they were all, boy, anything goes on that island. It was a corrupt place. But now it had changed. And now that sorcerer, to being led by the hand, probably down the road a ways, after being hit like he did, maybe he had to have it just like Paul had to have it. He had to be struck down blind before he would believe. Yeah. And I kind of imagine that down the road someplace he was preaching the gospel. He was in there having the blessings of God for a season. We read these scriptures and we love the stories. We love to see how the power of God was used by these men, how Paul was changed, converted. And you know, that fits every one of us. We all were lost. We all were living in a sinful life, maybe not the worst we think, but sin, sin. And lost is lost. And you know, when God saved us, just like Paul, he changed us from wicked, vile. We may have had our name to the community may have been kind of down. We may have been kind of nasty. We may have been the drunk of the town. We may have been the sinner of sinners. We may have this, but our name was but it was them. But when Jesus Christ got a hold of us, he changed our name. He changed our name to a new name, as he gave it to us, as we accepted him as our Savior, and he gave us power and authority to do the things that God would have us to do. Yes, he made us his spokesman. He made us with a name that anybody listening on said, oh, just like they did Paul. They were scared to death of him when he came into their communities. They were scared to death when he came in there because they remembered what he used to be. But Paul had changed. And now he brings blessings from God. He brings in anew to the Gentiles. Yes, he preached to the Jews first. He preached to the Jews first. They would not hear it. The scripture that I read to you at the opening of the service was the 13th chapter, going down there in the 46th verse. Then Paul and Barnabas, you see, we switch him around now. Paul's in the driver's seat. God put him there. They waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be first have been spoken to you. It was necessary that the Jews heard the word first about Jesus Christ. But seeing ye put it from you, they didn't believe it. They put it aside. And judged yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Not believing the word of God that Paul was bringing to them, they judged themselves. They placed judgment upon themselves, unworthy of everlasting life. And until they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are lost. The only way to the kingdom of heaven is through Jesus Christ. Paul makes it very clear. But he said, unworthy of everlasting life, lo, so now we turn to the Gentiles. Well, praise be to God. Yes, that's where we come in, and that's where Paul is preaching to us. Yes, we are the Gentiles. He brought the message to the Jews, didn't hear it. Now he brings it to the Gentiles. Did we hear it? A remnant, just a small portion of the earth today, heard the word and listened. There's so many that just still refuse to listen, refuse to hear, refuse to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. They judge themselves. Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. We praise you, God, for accepting us as poor sinners. Lord, of those, Father, we persecuted. But Lord, you look down and you've seen us, O Father, as someone, O Father, that you might be able to use. And you made a way that we could come to you, that we could be saved, that we could be changed, that we now can say, praise the Lord. That we can preach the gospel. That we can witness to the neighbors. That we can be a friend through your precious blood. We ask you, Father, to touch each of us. Lord, and to show us the way, to lead us, to guide us. To help us, Father, that we might help someone to find that we have already found. Help us, Lord. For we can't do nothing without you.